Gamarjoba, Long Island Sound. This is TpeelPod.com coming to you from our studios, makeshift studios overlooking lovely Gardner's Bay. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of August, 2012. On this date, in 1869, Japan's samurai, farmer, artisan, merchant class system is abolished as part of the Meiji Restoration reforms. In 1873, the Clay Street Hill Railroad begins operating the first cable car in San Francisco. In 1918, Japan announces that it is deploying troops in Siberia in the aftermath of World War I. In 1876, Wild Bill Hickok is murdered in Deadwood, South Dakota, holding aces and eights. In 1943 is the rebellion in Treblinka. And on the same day, PT-109 is rammed by a Japanese destroyer and sinks. Its commander, Lieutenant John F. Kennedy, saves all but two of the crew. In 1964, North Vietnamese military boats are fired on by U.S. destroyers, though Congress is told the reverse. And, bracketing the Vietnam War, in 1971, the Nixon administration acknowledges a secret army made up of Hmong in Laos that the U.S. has been funding. In 1990, Iraq invades Kuwait. Remember that war? Today is Myrna Loy's birthday. If you haven't seen a Thin Man movie, go see one. And Peter O'Toole is 80 years old today. Isabella Allende is 70. In the Russian Orthodox Church, today is the feast day of Basil, Fool for Christ. Yes, there is a saint called Basil, Fool for Christ. I just thought with all the Pussy Riot stuff in the news that that might provide some historical context. Today it is just me and me alone. My Kvitis Palithra column this week is about the difference between EU and Europe and what that means for Georgia. The biggest news we have this week, we have heard from a dedicated listener that TpeelPod.com is being blocked in Saudi Arabia. I'm very proud. Maybe people are downloading it and driving it across the border into Bahrain. I don't know. I don't remember making any cracks about the kingdom, but now's a good time to start. If you find us blocked anywhere else, should that happen, I mean, I know I can, you know, tell that we do have a dedicated listener in Bangladesh, for example. If anyone else blocks us, I'd be curious to know. So, parliamentary elections will be held on the 1st of October. 1st of October will be marked in Georgia's Akhmeta region as Bidzinoba, the celebration of Bidzina, to commemorate the Orthodox martyr Bidzina Cholakashvili, one of the Georgian leaders involved in the 1659 riot against Iranian conquerors, according to Information Center of Kakheti. Comments on Facebook suggest that Mises' symbol-loving government overlooked this detail when settling for the date of October 1st. The prosecutor's office seized the accounts of Kahi Kaladze, the former famous footballer and member of Ivanishvili's Georgian Dream, or Otsneba, as it's called. The prosecutor says that Kaladze is suspected of money laundering. Members of the youth wing of Georgian Dream held a protest rally against the seizure of the accounts. Must carry, must offer, which we've talked about before, relating to news on cable channels, becomes enforceable tomorrow, the 3rd of August. During the pre-election period, starting from August 3rd, until Election Day, cable operators nationwide should be obliged to carry all Georgian channels with news. Supposedly they can pull it on Election Day. Let's hope they decide not to do that, because I think people will be angry. Vladimir Soko wrote a piece for Jamestown, which is about the Georgian Dream, in which he highlights that most majoritarian candidates from the coalition are sportsmen. There are eight of them. Actors, six are actors. The others are artists or people who've worked for Ivanishvili. None of them have political experience. He also highlights that in Ajara, the coalition is running mostly people who made a career under Abashidze. Soko writes that the sole basis for picking candidates has been loyal to Ivanishvili. He thinks that Georgian Dream's likely voter base is mostly located in Tbilisi rather than the countryside, especially those who've lost privileges and social status under Misha, meaning former bureaucrats, Soviet and post-Soviet intelligentsia, fired policemen, and people who made a career under Shevardnadze. Quote, these groups form the core of the anti-reform, anti-government, and anti-Saakashvili electorate. Consistently, they are supportive of radical extra-parliamentary groups in the absence of more effective options, end quote. The piece also claims that Alassani and the Republicans have received less speaking time from Ivanishvili and his TV channel than they've gotten from the government-friendly TV stations. On the one hand, it's a very biased piece and ignores the Georgian Dream candidates, who are pretty good, of which there are a number. Just the photo that they have of the front makes them look like a bunch of complete nutcases. On the other hand, it's nice to see some candidate analysis. There hasn't been much of that in English. Let's hope that more shows up, particularly when the UNM finally decides on its candidates. Lasha Shavdatuashvili, 20 years old, won Georgia's first and so far only Olympic gold in the men's 66-kilo judo category on Sunday. According to the Ministry of Sports, Georgia's national Olympic team has 35 members. In a story broken last week by Tpilpa.com, the Georgian Young Lawyers Association has said that the court's decision to impound thousands of satellite dishes imported by Tbilisi-based Maestro TV was illegal and unjustified. The head of Kartu, Nodar Javakashvili, has said that during the 7 days the government took control of Kartu Bank, the state-appointed manager signed loan agreements with four property developers worth $50 million. Quote, "They have done everything to bankrupt us," end quote. Javakashvili told Kvitis Balithra. The manager also talked to EBRD about early repayment of liabilities and signed a real estate agreement from a Kartu branch in Tel Aviv that the new and former managers are not very happy about. Interesting to know which property developers got the government's the government decided to give $50 million of Kartu's cash to, or future obligations. Georgian Development Research Institute, GDRI, a Tbilisi-based think tank established in October with funding from Bidzina on Wednesday, said that the Tbilisi City Court ruled to freeze the organization's account in the Tbilisi-based Progress Bank on July 25th. In a TV ad launched on the 31st of July, the ruling party slammed Bidzina-led Otsneba over its reluctance to join the political party's code of conduct. Quote, "Why? What are they planning?" end quote, a male voiceover rhetorically asks in the ad. Some alleged political expert, Giga Lipartelliani, wrote a book about Bidzina called The Truth, Which Georgian People Should Know. In it, he discusses the ties Bidzina has with criminal bosses in Russia. He also asserts that Bidzina was involved in the 1994 murder of the crime boss Otar Kvantidishvili. 1,000 lari vouchers will be distributed from the 1st of January 2013 for the government's new four-year program, More Profit to the People. Each household will be able to use 250 lari per year. Civil.ge reports the state budget will have to allocate 1.2 billion lari in the next 4 years for that purpose, or 300 million lari annually. The voucher program will be submitted to the parliament in October. The voters list, rechecked by the state-funded voters list verifying commission, was handed over to the Central Election Commission on Wednesday. It includes a total of 3,385,844 citizens. Head of NDI office, much discussed recently related to polls, Luis Navarro, said that the commission had done a good job. Public defender George Tugrushi called on the prosecutor general of Georgia to launch an investigation into the case surrounding Channel 9 journalist Nodar Chachua. Last week, the media reported that Chachua, TV reporter for Channel 9, accused three armed men of harassment. They told Chachua to take money in return for information about the inner workings of Channel 9. Following Tugrushi's appeal, the Tbilisi prosecutor's office launched an inquiry into the case. The newspapers Alia and Kvitis Kronika might go bankrupt after the city hall ignored their appeal and fined them 50,000 lari. The actor Otar Koberidze sued them for defamation. The newspaper accused him of child debauchery. The supermarket chain Ioli has bought a 30% share of Popoli for a reported 1.7 million euros. Loli has 8 stores in Tbilisi, Populi has 40 stores in Tbilisi, and a store in Kutaisi, Batumi, and Sikhnahi. East Capital Explorer, the investment firm that has invested heavily in Populi over the past 2 years, said that they were disappointed with the investment and their discovery that Populi's mismanagement had led to a potential bankruptcy. They had invested a total of 4.1 million euro in Populi over the past 2 years, according to GBC. The new Georgian airline company, Fly Georgia, starts selling tickets for Tbilisi-Batumi flights. The first flight is set for Friday, the 3rd of August. Round-trip ticket is $190, including taxes. total corporate VAT payments in Georgia were 3.742 billion Georgian lari in June, a 21% increase compared to last year, GBC reports. Looks as though the small GPS cashier, little cash gizmos that everybody's seen who lives in Georgia, that the revenue services mandated along with the PR campaign that enables people to win prizes with their receipts has paid off. Maybe that's a concept worth exploring in Greece and other countries that are struggling to collect VAT. The public registry has started using extracts about entrepreneurs both in Georgian and in English. The English language extracts and its electronic version have the same legal effect as the Georgian ones. Finance Ministry of Ajana has allocated 150 hectare land plots to increase the industrial potential and size of the Batumi Industrial Zone. The Financial Times has a regular column in its business section that assesses slogans. This is the Georgian Financial Times. This week, it's actually just the Financial. It examined the new slogan that Georgia is planning to use, using to brand all its wine exports, the EU with, Georgia, the cradle of wine. The FT writes, oh, so maybe this is the real, actual British FT. I didn't think that they would discuss something this minute, but evidently they are. Okay. The FT writes, the campaign has won the approval of Brussels and the EU office that is in charge of trademarks after they stripped a British company's rights to use the cradle of wine as its slogan. Within the EU, Georgia exclusively has the right to use this trademark now. However, the FT gives the slogan only 2 out of 5 points, their somewhat cheesy verdict, and I quote, this slogan may need more time to ripen. Yes, okay, that would be the FT. Only an English person would write that. Also, cradle of wine, I mean, I don't know. I know it sounds good in Georgian, but cradle of wine, when I think of cradle of wine, I think of a sort of leaky basket filled with wine. I don't know, visual image is not as good as it could be. I remember being in a focus group a while back when the tourist board was trying to come up with a slogan, and we were advocating for aged to perfection about Georgia, but I think they wanted something that implied more newness. The hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia, recommends that the National Bank of Georgia promote better performance of insurance companies by introducing a system of performance indicators. While commenting on TI's report, the head of Georgia's Insurance Association, Debbie Khechenishvili, well known for having one of the most impressive beards in Georgia, does not see any problem with hospital management in Georgia. The Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor and the U.S. State Department released an International Religious Freedom Report in 2011. The report positively evaluates the steps taken by Georgia in the direction of religious freedom. The U.S.-supported military exercises Didgori 2012 were completed at the Kurtzanisi National Military Training Center. Sibyl.ge reports that another Georgian soldier has been killed in Afghanistan, bringing the total to 17. A group of 23 Georgian victims of kidnapping returned from Turkey to Georgia. These were men. They say they were locked in a basement and were required to pay a ransom amounting to $2,000 each. They were not given food and were physically threatened. Former representative of the president of the self-proclaimed Republic Ichkeria to Georgia, Kizri Aldamov, held a press conference. He said that the previous and current Georgian authorities have been supporting Chechen groups and terrorism in the North Caucasus. The 2012 counterterrorism report released by the U.S. Department of State says that the Georgian government had continued counterterrorism actions both against local and foreign terrorist threats. Zaza Sopromadze from Nino Bourjanadze's party was arrested. She said it was political. Witnesses say that one of Misha's escort cars was involved in a car accident on the highway near Gori. The accident left the driver of another car dead and 4 others injured. The Interior Ministry denies that the president's escort's car was at fault, saying that the other car violated road traffic rules and was thus responsible for the crash. Well, I've seen many escorts of many big politicians drive around, and I can imagine something like that happening. Not that I knew what was going on in this particular case, but yes, they drive quickly. The Patriarch Ilya II spoke out about the upcoming parliamentary elections. The Patriarch asked all sides to show patience. The not-heard-of-for-a-while National Democratic Party claims that their office official site was hacked on the 26th of July from an IP address registered in Russia. The party calls this an act of cyber terrorism and an assault on Georgia's political system. Indeed. According to Apsny Press, breakaway Abkhazia plans additional pedestrian border crossing with Georgia on the basis that not everyone is comfortable arriving in Gali. I don't really get what that means. Why wouldn't you be comfortable arriving in Gali? Like, is that... I mean, they don't want Abkhaz to go into Georgia, so why... I don't know. Anyway, need a little follow-up on that. We have some listeners who know a lot more about Abkhazia than I ever will, so anybody knows anything about that, let us know. Opsny Press also reports that the breakaway Abkhazian parliament passed its second draft law regarding the freedom of conscience and religious associations. This will give religious groups the right to have legal status and property. This week's geocapital indicator is 1/5. 19.9% of Georgian children under 5 years old are considered overweight, according to WHO data. This is very high compared to most other countries, such as China, 6.6, Germany, 3.5, and even the United States, 8%. Other countries that have similar or higher levels of childhood obesity include Albania, 23.4, Bosnia-Herzegovina, 25.6, Egypt, 20.5, Libya, 22.4, Serbia, 19.3, South Africa, 19.2, Syria, 17.9, and topping the list is Ukraine, 26.5. Who knows what these countries have in common? Research has shown that childhood obesity is not just chubbiness that kids will grow out of, but has consequences that can last for the rest of a child's life. For example, the risk of cardiovascular disease for those who are obese as very young children remains elevated throughout their lifetime, as does all-cause mortality. Overweight children are also less economically mobile, or less statistically likely to be economically mobile. Now, I have noticed, and I don't know whether anybody else has, that there do seem to be more obese children in Georgia, significantly more now than there were before. Now, you can say, okay, that's because of rising income, since incomes are rising, but I think it has to do more with prepackaged food and big shopping outlets, people not shopping every day and buying TV dinners and burgers and frozen stuff and things like that, and maybe has to do with more women in the in the workplace, and I don't know, the family setup where there's less daily shopping or something like that. I'm not really sure, but there does seem to be a pretty significant increase. And the finger of the week goes to October 1st. Election day should be designated by law rather than chosen by the president. It's such an advantage to be able to do that only 2 months before the election. I mean, the president essentially 2 months before the election could decide whether the election will be in 2 months or 3 months. And, you know, that's silly. The election is virtually always in October. It's one more necessary advantage given to the ruling party in this not very good election law, in my view. The worst one being, by the way, the 30% threshold for majoritarians, as we've much discussed. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tblpod@gmail.com. That's tblpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with One Mint Julep by the Clovers from 1952.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a woman, started talking. I took her home to get a few nips, but all I had was a mint julep. One mint julep was the cause of it all. I don't remember just how it started, but all I know is we shot a party. I stole a kiss and then another. I didn't mean to take it first. got all I got to win right now. Oh, face a starter. I didn't know just what I was doing. I had to marry all face ruin. I met Julep. Cause of it all. I don't want to bore you with my troubles, but from now on I'll be thinking double and through with burning, thinking with
I got
you.
Six extra children from a getting biscuit.
Oh, a man in julep, a man in julep, a man in julep. Come in, julep, one in julep, was the cause of it all.